Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Warm. Here we go then with the midweek domestic podcast. MWDP.
That's correct.
Oh yeah, DP is a
domestic anyway. Podcast.
It's domestic,
podcast.
Domestic podcast.
All it could possibly.
That's all
for.
It could possibly mean. Nothing else. MWDP. Here we go. Hands in. Pod on three. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
So you got the usual. Holy Trinity of Egg Chasers. I'm Tim. JB, hello.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, Philip.
Hi, Tim.
We're sat in the rugby dungeon, aka JB's basement. We're surrounded by incredible amounts of rugby stash hung up on walls.
Manacles.
JB and Phil sat on some leather manacles. JB and Phil sat on two leather reclining chairs. And I'm holding court here with the faders and the mixers and all the buttons. We're going to get busy talking about domestic rugby. If you're just listening now and you're thinking this is the only podcast this week, you may have just missed the fact that there was a podcast which we uploaded on Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on when you listen to it, all about the Six Nations. We're not really going to talk about Six Nations right now. We're going to talk about all of the domestic rugby, and we're going to be looking ahead to the weekend's rugby coming up. Six Nations on the podcast before, which you can, as well as this one, find on iTunes, on Acast. And you can follow our chat in amongst in time or the rest of the time, you know what I'm trying to say, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. By the way, we need to get ourselves sorted on Instagram and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yes, I'm on it. I mean, I've got my own Instagram. So far, it's got one picture of a skyline and one picture of Oldham Town Hall. So yeah. It's not really worth following.
Yeah, I just happen to know.
It's for kids.
No, it's not. Honestly,
it's for adults.
I know this because this is my job. This is my job to know about social media. Twitter is big and important, but it's dying slowly. It will become extinct. Instagram is where it's at, and that's the one we need to get on, boys. Come on.
kids nowadays.
James Haskell does a lot on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. I'm in then.
He seems to know.
Hask knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Right, can I quickly get my apologies in early? I am going to have to go in about 20 minutes time, boys.
That's okay.
No problem.
We'll do the fun stuff in 20 minutes time, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Which is weird because I keep apologising for not being there because I was interviewing Banners for BT Sport and so I had to not be on the last podcast.
Why don't we start with that? What on earth were you doing interviewing Banners and what did you talk to him about?
So no sooner had I landed in the UK after our trip to New York and I had a missed call on my phone when I got home from one of the producers at BT Sport. I called him and I was feeling quite jet lagged and, you know, I'm feeling the effects of four big days with you two.
It was like you just played an international rugby match, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Exactly the same feeling.
Body was aching. And they said, Tim, could you go and do a feature with Matt Banahan at Farley House? I mean, that's like smelling salts. Try and stop me.
Yeah.
Farley House.
Oh, it looks incredible.
Wow.
That's what all rugby bases should look like.
Yes.
It does feel like rugby's getting progressively more evil, doesn't it, with all these owners coming in. You know.
Yeah.
The team will be based in the stately home.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's a little bit Foxcatcher, Farley House.
Oh, yeah, massively.
I'd go full Foxcatcher.
Before I left, I got offered some freshly baked biscuits straight out of the Farley House kitchen as well. It was...
Do you think...
Tim, incredible. Are the domestic stuff bothering you again?
Do you think Rob Webber and Davey Wilson partake in those biscuits?
I can imagine.
Every now and again.
They all do after a hard training session.
They don't start winning, they soon won't be partaking in any fresh Farley House biscuits.
Yes, and rightly so.
But Banners was everything I hoped he'd be and more. Really good fun.
Did you ask him about his brother's tattoo? Did you ask him about...
Privately, yeah, I said, there's a picture. Is there a picture of you with your brother? So he's got lots of tattoos. One of the tattoos is a picture which, when he stands next to his brother, makes one complete picture.
Like the Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. And he said there is a picture of him and his brother, but he doesn't want that one to be shared publicly. So it's never been seen by us mere mortals.
Why have a tattoo that you don't want anyone to see? I don't understand.
Well, they know.
Why spend thousands of pounds on something that you do not want anyone to see?
He's a very mischievous guy, Matt Banahan. That's what I will say of him, in a really good way. You could have a good time with him. And we were reminiscing about nights out in Bath. Not together, but just separately.
So what did you talk about? Did you ask him about what he intends to do after playing rugby?
Tattoo artist. It has to be.
Well, his brother owns a pub, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
He's played for Waterloo, I think.
If Matt Banahan had his own way, he'd be a golfer.
Oh, really?
He plays off a good score, and he motorbikes and golf is his big passions. Anyway, so that was on the programme before Bath's game. So why don't we start with Bath's game, who managed to eke out a win against Newcastle.
Oh, this is heartbreak. I was kind of rooting for Newcastle in this, because...
I was.
Yeah, as much as I love Bath, I just kind of think that they were playing the right way. Now, where do we start here? Mike Delaney has the face of a man that spent 12 months on the Eastern Front. It's like he's seen that many horrors.
Well, think of all the Georgians who play at Clermont.
Oh,
yeah, you should see him.
He looks traumatised.
You should see him on that Russian sub at the start of that Bond film playing chess or something like that.
That's exactly what...
A chiselled face.
It was just heartbreak. Yeah. Newcastle did pretty much everything right. Then... everything falls their way. Francois Lowe, I don't think, should have been sent off. But then the more I watched I thought, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe he should.
That was on Mickey Young's, where he slammed the takedown round his neck and slams him.
That was WWE stuff.
Yeah, I watched the first time with that in the penalty, and then I watched it again in the yellow card. I thought, actually, no, he should go. He should actually go for that.
It was definitely a yellow card.
So Lowe goes, then Henry Thomas comes on for all of 2 minutes. He's got 3 yellow cards this season alone, and he doesn't even start.
Yeah.
Discipline's a big issue for Bath this season.
Yeah.
It is.
And then Newcastle choke. And I've never, ever seen a game, unless you two can correct me, where the fly half has had 4 cracks at a drop goal, 3 of them in the same phase of play, passage of play, and missed every one of them.
Yeah.
And it's probably his shell-shocked, shaky hands which are doing it.
Yeah. What do you think Andy Goode was thinking when he was watching that game?
Time to retire. Not spending any more time with these jokers.
Well, that choice was taken away from him because his deal must have finished with Newcastle.
Yeah.
And hasn't been renewed.
He had a three-month
deal. Well, he was there just to cover Delaney.
Yeah, it was just a three-month deal. But he has announced, announced his retirement from pre-season training, so we'll have to wait until September to see Andy Goode again.
Unless he goes to Irish could do with a fly half right now.
No, Tonks.
Greg Tonks.
I mean, when we were out in New Jersey watching that game at the Red Bull Arena, we were all saying Tonks makes a big difference to this team, and
yes,
and he did today as he did on Sunday when London Irish chalked up a massive win in the context of their season. That is huge. Paddy's Day victory against Gloucester,
and it would have been, if Newcastle had won, it would have been virtually irrelevant. But it now brings them within 5 points of Newcastle. So they're edging. Now, I think the Greg Tonks thing, it has some weight behind it. I think it's genuinely important, as was Andy Goode when Newcastle went on 3 on the bounce, as was Francois Hugard, and they've won 4 out of 5. I like to call it the halfback honeymoon period. So if you're in a relegation...
if you're in a halfback honeymoon, wow.
Okay,
if you're in a relegation battle, all you need to do is sign a new halfback and you'll start winning games. Because all 3 of them have done it. And they've all immediately... like, the first game those halfbacks have played, or the second game in Greg Tonks' case, they've won.
Well, if you're a bad club, the chances are you've got bad halfbacks, I guess.
Yeah, so you sign a quality halfback, someone with a bit of international quality, and...
away you
start
go.
Winning games, yeah.
Although I've not really ever heard of Greg Tonks. I mean, he's a Pro 12 player.
He was a Leicester Academy guy that played a lot in the Championship for Nottingham before going to... I think he might have gone to a Premiership team, but was only ever in the background. But then he sort of did quite well in Scotland because he's got Scottish descendants.
Well, I know
descendants.
Of a Pro 12 fly-half coming to the Premiership very soon to replace Danny Cipriani. Does anyone else know?
A Pro 12 fly half.
Yeah.
Now, it'll be the Scarlets lad. Well, Jones?
I could tell you, but if you want to really know, I would say tune in to the American Rugby Pod, because that's where I got it from, and they will tell you who it may be.
It's that American fella.
What's his name?
You can find out on the American Rugby Pod, and that's the end of it.
Good friends of ours, the American Rugby Podcast, if you're interested in rugby, and you can find them there at American Rugby Pod on Twitter.
That's exactly right.
Good guys.
Very good guys.
Good stand-up guys.
Very good guys. Hate boozing. Hate a drink.
Oh yeah, they really hate
quiet
a drink.
Nights.
They didn't lead us astray and let us lead them astray. York at all. There was no stories to tell whatsoever. We were in bed at a reasonable hour.
Absolutely.
So halfback honeymoon
period. Yes.
Like it.
And we'll see whose honeymoon period ends first, and then that'll be the relegated team.
Well, here's the honeymoon period that's going to end very soon, and I think it's all these players that have been paid an awful lot of money to play at Bath. There's going to be a clear out in the summer. There just has to be.
Yeah.
There is too many players there that believe that they are, you know, top four players. And they might be if the team's doing well. But they've got too many passengers. I'm looking at this team and thinking, who is going to drag them out of where they are?
They've got too many number eights.
Well, they've got a lot of number eights. I think they need to look at the tight five.
Yeah.
Last season was...
Charteris is coming.
Charteris
is coming. Yeah. Stuke is coming.
Whatever that
means.
Squad player.
You've also got Faletau. But the front row aren't really doing it.
The tight five, yeah. The front row last year were playing brilliantly, but Wilson seems to have got worse. Weber's nowhere to be seen. The two young lads, Autorak and Henry
Cat.
Thomas,
how about Cat?
Not developed. Yeah, Cat.
Cat, I thought, was coming on wonderfully.
Max Leheath's a squad player.
But he's the guy that tends to start.
Well, they got a very good young hooker. The guy, they're like the third choice hooker. His name escapes me at this moment, which is annoying, but... He looks like he's a
potential.
But these guys are getting paid serious money at a big club with ambitions to win Europe, not just the Premiership, Europe, and they're nowhere near. They
not
need
at
a clear
the moment.
Up.
Not at the moment. It will be interesting because I think I read the other day that Eastman and Joseph haven't played a Premiership game together this season.
Wow!
Because of injuries and because of the World Cup and then the Six Nations.
Yeah, you so got Ford, Eastman, Joseph, Watson.
Yeah. Get those boys back together.
Rocco.
Yeah, because Rocco scored two.
Or Banners.
Yeah, but you know what? They're also missing a scrum half because Chris Cook played like an idiot on...
I like Chris Cook.
I do as well. But it was a penalty to Bath. And yeah, hang on. So where do we go with this? It was a situation. There's a penalty to Bath. And then something happened and it resulted in Chris Cook standing up and confronting the referee. Now, if it wasn't penalty to Bath, it would be... it would be a penalty against Chris Cook. I think he was lucky not to get a yellow card, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was... I can't remember what the situation was, but it was a situation where something happened with a Newcastle player which was far more serious than what Cook did, like a yellow card type serious situation.
Right, okay.
So Chris Cook is screaming at the ref. And
I've seen that a bit recently. Luke Narraway in that London Irish game a few weeks ago, you saw... He was incensed about a try, and he was right up in the ref's face, just shouting, "Check it, check it."
Yeah, I remember that.
JP Doyle actually said to, I don't know, I didn't actually see who it was, one of the Saracens player, "Don't scream at me."
Yeah,
someone said, "Sah, sah, sah."
Yeah, well, the video match official said, "Do you want to go and check for abuse?" Which I thought was very interesting, but they just let it go.
Wow. Mm.
So that was Bath.
Interesting. Bath probably will be safe.
Yeah, they will be. I think what Bath need, you know, if Mike Ford's an excellent coach, but there's something leadership. There's something missing. I mean,
we can't quite work out what's changed from last year.
I don't know what it is, but the one person I don't know what Stuart Hooper's playing situation is beyond this season.
I'll guess he's going. He's going to stop.
Well, there hasn't been... I think his deal is up this summer, but there's been no talk about it. I don't know. It's all very quiet, but I would love to see Stuart Hooper have a role behind the scenes at Bath. They seem to love him.
Because I did love Stuart Hooper, but recently he just looked so miserable. At one point, I think it was Chris Cook, actually, he had to push Chris Cook into contact. And it kind of summed up their entire game, which they're just not doing the basics right. Chris Cook's dancing on the line. Stuart Hooper comes up behind him, shoves him in the back just to make him go forward. Yeah.
Maverick suggestion, if Mike Ford does decide to go and seek new pastures...
Or gets fired.
Stuart Hooper, DOR.
There you go.
How about it?
Hear him now, believe him later.
Hear me now, believe you later.
Interesting. Any other games this weekend you want to talk about?
Yes. I want to talk about one more game in sort of detail, and then you can do whatever you want with the rest of it, because I've not seen any more rugby.
Okay.
Jaguars.
Oh, Super Rugby.
It's their first home game. This was actually... I watched a bit of this with Phil.
Yeah, and straight after the England-France game.
At times, I was just laughing with joy and ecstasy. But
they're not going to play from there.
No.
Surely they're not going to play from there.
These boys are unbelievable. Now, they've had their discipline issues. They've only, I think...
Some Super Rugby boys. Come on, let's go.
Well, like, this team is a worse team than their players suggest. All they do is throw ridiculous offloads. I mean, I don't mean, you know, 50-50s. I mean, like... And anything. What is that, Tim?
I was looking for some sexy music. There we go. No, that's not sexy.
What do you find sexy, Tim? Leave the sexy music.
Leave the sexy music.
Hold on. Just for a second. There we go. Let's talk Jaguars. Yeah.
Right, they are exceptional at four things, maybe, and then absolutely useless at everything else.
So the four things. So offloads.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
Broken field running.
Oh, magnificent.
Incredible.
Kits.
And being international playboys?
Being international playboys,
yeah. They might have scored, not just try in like, what, 4 weeks of Super Rugby, they might have scored not just three of the tries of the season, but three of the best tries ever scored.
But they simply don't care about anything else. Defence, not interested. Tactical acumen,
I love it!
Not interested.
Love it!
But they're bad for it, that's the problem. They're not actually a very good team. A couple of things of note. The Argentine crowd are very well healed. There are more jumpers over shoulders in that crowd than any other stadium in the world.
It was polo shirt, jumper over the top.
But they wear polo shirts because they play polo.
Yeah, exactly.
Not because they're wearing polo shirts.
They come straight from a polo
and
match.
And discipline. Okay, yeah. It's one thing to be off the field because you've got a yellow card. It's another thing to be off the field because you're tuning your motorbike or you're doing your hair, chatting up one of the delicious girls which are stood around the stadium. They are comfortable. The best team in the world to watch if you just enjoy smiling.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was incredible. I love it.
And as Phil pointed out, you know what animal is on their shirt?
Not a jaguar.
There's a leopard, isn't it?
No, so puma.
There's a leopard.
They called the pumas, but it was actually a jaguar. They're now called the jaguars, but someone got it wrong. The designer got it wrong.
Yeah,
so
but they've actually got a leopard.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh my god, why can't anyone get these big cats right? What's going on?
It just adds to the farcical nature of the entire thing.
But if they sure they haven't done that deliberately? Because
it is a genuine accident.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's deliberate.
Check it out.
Must be deliberate. Is this, hold on, who's winding me up here? Who's telling me the truth?
Hand of God.
it's a joke, right? Because Lost Pumas is what we call them, but actually they should be called Jaguars.
Yeah.
They should be
Jaguars. Right, so these are the Jags. They've got a leopard.
They haven't. You're winding me up. Get lost. Not April the 1st yet. Nearly.
And that's all the rugby that I've seen domestically. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a little break because I will have to go shortly.
Okay, cool.
But I've got a game of Who Am I for you.
Okay, good.
Fire away. Good.
So, Who Am I? I am a professional. So if you have a guess and you get it wrong, you pass control to the other person. Have a listen, try and guess before Phil and JB. I am a former international rugby player, currently aged 35, born in Truro, Cornwall. My positions...
Positions?
Positions predominantly fullback and wing. I was known for my finishing ability. I played 9 times for England. I played 38 times for Gloucester, 124 times for London Wasps, 55 times for Bath.
Gloucester, Bath, and it is the crowbar. What's his face? I can't remember his name. He looks a little bit like me.
I now work at Investec.
Oh, Tom Voice.
Tom Voice! Yes!
Phil won it! Yes! Tom Voice, yes.
Yeah, Tom Voice. And
it looks a little bit like me. Gave it me.
Yeah. I didn't know. It looks a bit like.
He does look a bit like JB.
I didn't know his uncle won 27 caps for England.
Oh.
Yeah, and won a Grand Slam.
He also had an appearance for London Welsh.
Yeah, he did.
For season. Tom Voice's middle names. He is called Thomas Michael Dunstan Voice.
There we go.
That's a rugby playing name right there. There you go. Well done. Well done, Phil.
So thank you.
One all for the week.
Yes.
JB right, won the on the international pod.
Well. Before you make your sharp exit, maybe you should talk about our sharpest sponsor.
You mean the
Cornerstone
precision engineering of Cornerstone razor blades?
Exactly.
For which you can try for pretty much no risk whatsoever. And you can see just how incredible the precision engineering is of the award-winning blades that beat Wilkinson Sword and Gillette to the GQ Razor of the Year award. You can get a £10 discount on your first order. You only have to spend £4 to get a first order, in fact, and you get a free engraved shaft razor handle with could have your initials on it, metal, sent to you, and you can give it a go like so many people have. £10 off if you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers to place your first order, like so many people have.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Or egg10 at checkout.
Or egg10 at checkout. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers and we believed in the product, so we got in touch with Cornerstone, said can you do us and our listeners a deal. They did, and loads of people are trying it. Just if you look up Cornerstone and Egg Chasers on Twitter, and you'll see what people are saying about it anyway.
So yeah, some good reviews on Twitter.
We wouldn't get you an offer for something we didn't believe in anyway.
Why don't you make your getaway now?
Yes.
You go, we'll talk about the games, and then we'll do the predictions. And I'll make your predictions for you.
Right you are. Let the boys play.
Big London Irish win.
Nice one.
See you, Tim.
See you, Tim.
Right, Phil. Other results, please. Go.
Did you watch any of these other games, then?
No, nothing.
Okay. Sticking with the Premiership.
Yep.
Game I did watch this afternoon, Leicester fairly comfortably beat Saracens, 21-13.
No, I say I've not seen anything. But I have seen some highlights, and it did look like Freddie Burns did actually quite well today.
Freddie Burns scored a try. His kicking was a little bit hit and miss, but he was kicking at sticks was a little bit hit and miss. His kicking out of hand was generally excellent, and he was deserved man of the match.
How was his distribution?
Pretty good. Pretty good. The first half was not great by either team. Mm-hmm. Second half, Leicester really came alive, scored some good tries, and it was Burns at the heart of everything.
So, if you're England now with a team that doesn't need a kicker because you've got Owen Farrell, but you do need someone who can play a bit, Freddie Burns.
No.
How far he has fallen?
He'd still be my would he be my fourth choice? He'd be top five.
Oh, that's very generous. And what does this do to the table?
Well, good question. Well, that's not the most important one for the table. The most important one was the earlier kickoff that was on BT Sport, where Exeter put in a great second half performance to fight back against Northampton to win 20 points to 12.
What, they won that?
They won that. Yeah.
Wow, because I was following that on Twitter and I had no idea. Exeter just love winning late doors.
Yeah,
they love it.
Yeah, good fitness, good team bond. And that, because Saracens lost, means that Exeter have gone top. So Exeter, I've not actually seen this confirmed yet, but I presume I'm right in saying that this is the first time that Exeter have topped the Aviva Premiership.
I think they might have done it before, you know.
Really?
They've certainly got as high as second, definitely, okay. In previous years.
But yeah, top of the table, them and Saracens have both won 12 out of 17. And Saracens, of the five that they've lost, four have come during the Six Nations period.
Oh, my word.
So that shows just how important that... I mean, they lose 9 players to the Six Nations.
And they're good players as well.
they're pretty good.
There's also an element, I think, of Saracens now losing their veneer of invincibility.
Yes. I think Wasps smashed that veneer of invincibility when they put 60 points on them. And then everyone sees them as beatable. In a couple of weeks, though, I do think it'll be back to normal service for Saracens when.
The England boys will
have a rest week, and then after that,
winning the table's nice. But actually, all they need to do is win two games in the playoffs, and they're away.
Oh yeah, that's top four, which they will almost certainly get with five games left, and they are 11 points off fifth place.
I don't see anyone stopping Saracens really, at home or in Europe.
Really?
No,
in Europe.
I think Wasps and Saracens are going to be absolute destroyers.
I think Wasps have got more firepower than Saracens. In their back line, their back three. So if they start with Wade, Piatow and Frank Halai as a back three, that has got a lot more firepower than Goode, Ashton and Wiles.
Just getting them the ball. Mind you, they're not... It's interesting. I was talking to a Wasps player, and with players, there's a lot of bravado about what they can and cannot do. But they said they were talking genuinely about winning Europe. I mean, that's a standard that they've set for this season.
I think they could. They hammered Saracens, and they very comfortably beat Toulon as well earlier in the season.
Mm.
I think they can do. Whether they will do is a whole different ballgame, particularly because they're currently in third, and if at the end of the season they're having to fight the both fronts, the Premiership, top four and Europe, then that's a very different situation. I mean, we've seen Toulon have won three European Championship, but twice they got beat in the final, once to Stade Francais, once to Cast, because they were also playing Europe.
And the other thing I'd say is this format probably suits Wasps more than it suits Saracens. I'm not saying Wasps are going to be a better team, but in a one-off game, who would you less like to face than Wasps?
In a one-off game, Wasps and Saracens, for slightly different reasons, but both of those two can beat just about anyone on the day.
Mm-hmm. And how do Wasps go?
Wasps very comfortably beat Sale. Saw a couple of tries. Wade scored. Piatow scored.
Fairly
standard.
Did Sale score much?
Did Sale ever score much? They scored 12 points. They got a couple of tries. Sippers only got one kick.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm asking, because I was with the BBC on Thursday.
Yeah.
And there was a Sale player there, and I was asking them about, you know, why are they so good at home, what they're doing well, and. The word is, well, it's not the word, apparently what all they're doing is they're doing rugby league patterns as taught to them by ex-rugby league superstar Paul Deacon. And that's all that they're doing in training, backs and forwards. So if you're watching them now, it's pattern, 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 pattern. And he says that is why they are scoring so frequently, whereas before they hardly scored at all.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so I was interested to see how they went along.
Yeah, they got a couple of tries, but they were playing a team comfortably better than them in Wasps.
Okay. Other games?
The other ones in the Premiership, well, London Irish, which we mentioned before,
yep,
narrowly beat Gloucester.
It's not their year, is it, Gloucester? Next year.
Next year.
Next year, definitely.
Charge your calendars. Get your calendar ready.
Some big signings.
It's Gloucester's year. And Worcester beat Quins at Quins.
Hear me now, believe me later.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I am surprised.
I should have actually put a bet on that.
It's all about the halfback honeymoon.
It is.
Yeah, you should have put a bet on that because you would have got good odds.
Okay,
and Harlequins as well as Saracens finishing off a pretty miserable Six Nations period. I mean, Harlequins has slipped from top four into sixth place currently, but they were comfortably top four. They were streets ahead.
Okay. As quickly and as disrespectfully as you can, what happened in the Pro 12?
Well, there's only two games because they were rearranged fixtures.
Fine.
Glasgow beat Leinster in a thriller.
Great.
12-6. And Cardiff Blues beat Munster in what is actually probably a genuine thriller, 37-28.
That is quite a high-scoring game.
It is.
But again, probably extremely low quality and not worth watching. So how do we think this week's game is going to go?
Good question. Let me get the fixtures up.
In fact, it is back to the Premiership, because sometimes they go Premiership, Six Nations into Europe. Well, they have in past years.
So we've got a full fixture list of Aviva and Pro 12. There's no rest for the wicked.
Okay, well, let's go with Pro 12 first, get it out of the way with. Chronologically, how does it look?
Okay, Friday night, Munster host Zebre.
Next.
Cardiff host Benetton Treviso.
Got that.
And what's probably going to be a good game, Glasgow host Ulster.
Ah, okay, that's probably going to be okay, providing all the international players are back.
Well, yeah, Ulster, relatively consistent. They'll get a few guys back. Glasgow, it'll be interesting to see who they do get back, but tough place to go and should be quite a good game.
Mm-hmm. Next, Welsh Derby, is it not, next?
It is. You're very well informed on the Pro 12 this week, JB.
Oh, stop it, Phil.
It's almost like you've read this before.
Almost.
Almost. So Ospreys host Scarlets.
Okay.
Which should be quite a good game. And Connacht hosts Leinster in what is, I think, being dubbed the Battle of Robbie Henshaw.
Except it doesn't matter who wins because Robbie Henshaw's a traitor and will go to Leinster anyway.
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, so not really the Battle of Robbie Henshaw.
No. It'd be interesting to see how many players...
I wouldn't play him. I'd make him sit out.
Would you?
Yeah, damn right.
I'd put him
train with the kids.
I'd put him tight head prop. Put him through the meat grinder.
There's two polar opposite thoughts here. Just keep on playing him.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'd do that. Keep on playing him.
Yeah.
And I'd play him in the A-League as well on Monday.
Yeah. Start him at tight... Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Teach
and
him.
And farm him out to some university as well for like a Wednesday night fixture.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting to see who of the Leinster players come back fit or come back playing. Because Connacht, if they've got... Well, they only really lose Robbie Henshaw and Dillan. But if Leinster don't have a full squad, Connacht could fairly
so
comfortably
should,
win that.
There should be one more, and I'm guessing it's Edinburgh Dragons. Is that the only other one to play?
That does sound about right on the Sunday. Let's just double check. It is. Dragons host Edinburgh.
Right.
Sunday afternoon.
I don't know what you want me to say about that. That's fantastic. So what are the big boys doing?
The big boys... You mean top 14?
No. The middle size... The average-sized boys.
Average-sized boys. Well, the first game, or the televised game on the Saturday, is not the average-sized boys. This is the big boys. Saracens, second place, host Exeter Chiefs, first place.
That is going to be huge. That is huge.
Ah, it's going to be so interesting just to see who both teams bring back. Now, Saracens, obviously, they're losing 9 players. They can bring back the Vunipors, they can bring back Cruis and Itoji.
Wow.
Yeah, some firepower there. But they can bring back, Goode's not been playing, but Farrell and Duncan Taylor could be really important for them. Extra, on the other hand... Oh, Francis is banned currently.
Not that bothered.
Noel could come back, but it's very interesting that Bax has previously said he won't play Noel on a plastic pitch because of the because of the high potential of injury and the way that Noel steps. So it'll be interesting to see if they do. And similarly,
I've never known a winger not being able to play on a plastic pitch.
It should suit them, but it's the risk of injury.
So, well, yeah, it's risk. Is he more valuable than everyone else?
That's good. Well, he steps in a different manner to a lot of players, doesn't he?
Suspicious. Give me Saracens for this. Big.
Saracens as well. I will temper that by saying if they're unable, for whatever reason, to bring back as many of the internationals as they'd like, then I think it'll be a lot closer than you might think. Then, Gloucester host Bath.
This is one of my favourite fixtures of the year.
I love this fixture.
Now, a couple of years ago, it was actually my favourite fixture of the year because Gloucester and Bath got into an almighty fracas, resulting in, I think, three yellows and two reds. Travis Knoll, the Welsh scrum half, was redded. It was just brilliant. I want to see more fighting.
Who do you think?
I don't really know. I mean, Bath are playing rubbish.
Yeah,
And it doesn't seem to be any way of turning around. I don't think it's necessarily the players. These players were good a couple of years ago, but I think they're good because they kind of felt that they were good. They were kind of momentum players, passengers, if you like.
Yeah.
Whereas Gloucester have actually played some reasonable rugby this year, despite losing last week.
Yeah, but until that, Gloucester have been in great form.
So Gloucester at home, they get a few players back, I guess. Laidlaw would be one.
Yeah, Laidlaw's one of the very few players. They've not lost many.
No, I'm going to go with Gloucester.
Give me Gloucester.
Yeah.
And then this will be interesting again. Worcester host London Irish.
I think Worcester is simply a better team.
I think you're right. I think they're playing some good rugby at the moment. They're on the up. But they're both in the half-back honeymoon period at the moment. So.
Ooh. Yeah, but who would you rather sign? Tonks or Hugard?
Hugard, if you can get him to do what he's supposed to do. He's like your Jags players. He's equally likely to be throwing 30-yard passes or checking himself out in the mirror.
Or yellow carded.
Yeah. So, give me Worcester at home.
Okay, Sundays?
Sunday. Sale Sharks host Leicester.
Not straightforward.
Sale currently still unbeaten at home. They drew against Saracens, but besides that, they won everything else.
This might be the beginning of the end. I'm going to say Leicester.
I'm also going to say Leicester. I think they're coming back to some form. Then Newcastle host Wasps. I think Wasps are going to win that.
Wasps at Newcastle on a plastic pitch.
Yes.
Probably the only team you don't want to travel up other than Saracens is Wasps. Yes. Wasps are going to hammer them. It's going to be heavy as well.
Yes, I think you're quite right.
And I'm going to finish last one for you because I can tell using my powers of deduction it's going to be Harlequins versus Northampton, but I don't know where.
It's at Franklin's Gardens.
Yep.
And I'm going to go Northampton.
Going to go Northampton as well.
Very good.
Excellent. Well, that's a truncated MWDP for this week. We'll be back again for more Egg Chasers Rugby podcast next Sunday, or as you all download it, Monday. So from me, goodbye. And from Phil?
Do you want to flog some wine, Jay?
I would love to flog some wine, but let me tell you something about wine.
Okay.
I've actually done it, so Acast actually just drop it into the middle.
Very clever.
So you won't need to hear me do a live read. In fact, you can hear my amazing wine story when it pops up at some point in your podcast, and I don't know when.
Randomly, halfway through a sentence, yeah. It'll just pop up.
It'll just pop up, and it'll be me selling you some wine. So enjoy that.
Perfect.
There you go.
Well, then, goodbye, JB.
Goodbye, Phil. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.